Welcome in Inside the Gamecocks, the show firing off on a terrible Tuesday. Built by the Barn Dough Co., we are live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina. Coast to coast, nationwide, and worldwide via the internet. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. He is JC Sherbert, my co-host from Points Unknown. And JC, it's a terrible Tuesday, and I realize you got some things to get off your chest. I got some things to get off mine too. Like, I'm ready for everybody to go back to school.
Oh, are they out of school today?
No skew today. Pending a decision for tomorrow. Hopefully we'll be back. But one of the disadvantages of having an enormously large county-wide
school, yes,
as Greenville does, is what's good for Traveler's Rest has to be good for Malden and Hillcrest.
it used to be in Spartanburg. It was in District 6, which is Dorman's district, because that district stretches from like Pauline up toward Edmond. Right. And so there's parts that are closer to the northern part of the county, and they'd call it, and you'd be like, "Well, Roebuck is clear, you know." Well, it's not, you know, but then it would be like the District 2 and District 1, Bowling Springs, Chesney, the northern part of the county, but they'd be all be out too. No such luck in District 5, the Burns district, because it's right there in the west.
Yeah.
So we kind of, if District 4, which is Woodruff, was out, we'd be up in Greenville County. It's all one big thing. So Fountain Inn, you could get no snow and no ice and be out of school because TR snowed in.
That's right. Yeah.
I'd say TR like that because Phil's wife says TR like that.
TR.
Got it from her. TR.
TR.
But it's been talking normal conversation. And it's like, dude, you just went to this nice little restaurant up in TR. That's Traveler's Rest, home of the Devil Dogs, for those that don't know.
That's right.
Ryan McGee from Marty and McGee ESPN is actually a TR graduate.
He's a TR grad.
I love the mascot, the Devil Dogs. I really, really do. So anyway, I hope everybody's safe. And look, because the very fact that Phil's power is on makes me think the upstate and rest of South Carolina kind of avoided what could have been bad, and that's good. So
yeah. And I know why they're out today, because we had the hard freeze last night. So, I mean, it made sense. Yeah. But hopefully they'll get these roads cleaned enough for everybody to go back to school Wednesday.
Yeah. Get them out of the house, brother. I feel you there. But, yeah, it's we're talking region realignment and high school sports and stuff. And, after kind of digging into it and actually listening to Matt and Steve, by the way, Four Quarter Friday, every Friday morning at 9, we're glad to have Matt on with us. We love Justin Hall, but Justin's got a big job now and could no longer do it. And just very fortunate to have Matt sitting in here on the show and also with Four Quarter Friday. He's excellent at what he does. I've known Matt for years. He's a Spartanburg guy like me. But I agree that with them, and I came around on all my thinking, because I was totally opposed to, I was like, why would you have a region where you have 4A and 5A schools mixed together? Because they do it in Illinois. And I thought that was stupid. Like, I think most things are stupid, but I've come around on my thinking and realized that with population shifts and South Carolina is growing in some areas and some areas are not quite growing again. And then, you know, like Woodruff for years, like lost population in Spartanburg County. Now Woodruff's kind of a happening place. They're building houses out there. It's growing again. And they got a brew pub downtown and downtown Woodruff. I mean, you know, it's up and coming. So schools, and I think what you have to do is, for the purposes of the regular season, if you want to continue to keep people's attention, you got to still play the games that matter. They matter to the students. They matter to the alums. They matter. Like Burns, you know, there's not a single Burns person. Now, look, Burns going from Region 2 to Region 1, it's like it would have been like LSU going from the SEC to the ACC. I mean, that's kind of how it is. But Burns, you know, Burns going to that other – there's not a single person in Duncan, Lyman, Welford that cares, that's going to get up for – Eastside as much as they get up for Gaffney.
Yeah.
You know, and that's important, I think. So Ben says they do it in North Carolina a lot too. If I ever have any questions about North Carolina, I hope Ben's in the chat box.
Right.
Anything to do with North Carolina colleges, regions of North Carolina, Gold. He mentioned Goldsboro earlier. I mean, dude, this guy knows. I dig it.
Resident Tar Heel State.
Man, I've never lived in North. I've lived in Tennessee, Georgia, Illinois, South Carolina.
I lived in North Carolina when I was very young, very young.
Yeah, I've just never lived there, never wanted to live there, never gone to the beach there, although I hear it's lovely, and I may change that. You know, I'll go to the mountains, but usually if I've gone all the way, I'll go all the way into Tennessee. You know, I'll go to Gatlinburg.
Yeah,
that's another one. Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge.
Pigeon.
But Pigeon Forge. But Ben's repping the 252. Yes.
Eastern. Oh, the 252. Okay. All right.
So Hell Rooster says the Outer Banks are amazing. Yeah. I've heard like the beaches like north of Myrtle Beach are quieter, less expensive. Ocean Isle, I think maybe is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Cherry Grove. That's another one. There we go. Cherry Grove. Terrible Tuesday. We're just going to get the hard Southern accent in for all these things. Ocean Isle Sunset Beach is just like Dirty Myrtle, TD Null says. Uh-oh. TD knows Myrtle Beach. He has, he was cranking out driving instructions earlier.
Right.
Yeah. He knows. Proud Carolina Forest graduate. So, anyway, did get a text in from Jan, who's a Conway guy. And he was mentioning that they hadn't been good since Chuck Jordan has been gone. I did find it. When I wanted to do some research. I did find it interesting that of the players from South Carolina that have signed with South Carolina, signed with the Gamecocks and gotten drafted since 2020, Conway leads the way. Mm-hmm. Brian Edwards and Tonka were both drafted Conway guys from South Carolina. So that's good stuff, and they lead the way. Everybody else that got drafted kind of had one, but a lot of small schools down there are pretty good. But anyway, so what's chapping me here is I read yet again, Big Ten better than the SEC. Oh, I'll tell you how I came to this. 107.5 The Game. Bless them. They had a poll up today, and I get it. I'm not upset with them, but they had a poll up today that they got from The Athletic, who, as you may as well name that publication, Narrative Pushers Inc. Wrong Narrative Pushers. And said, okay, why do you think the SEC's missed the last three national title games? NIL, transfer portal, Saban retiring, or other? I think it's definitely other. But this whole crap about, and I haven't read like the article where they gave coach. I know the coaches probably disagree with me or something. They're probably, and I think the Big Ten coaches, because they've been at such a disadvantage through the years trying to get talent to the frozen tundras, that they're pushing it hard. That, oh yeah, well they used to pay under the table, and now we're getting this, that, and the other, blah blah blah, and so okay. Well, I understand where the coaches are coming from, because it's their job to sell their program. You're perpetually selling if you're a college football coach. I will forgive that. It's the media that bothers me. So riddle me this, Batman. So from 1998 to 2005, I think everyone would agree the SEC was the best conference during this period. Top to bottom, the toughest one. Everybody said it. You had Florida, Tennessee, and the West was rotating. Very good football teams, very strong. Do you know how many national championships they won in this 8-year period? And this was the 98 was the start of the BCS. So Tennessee won it that year. Two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Florida State wins it in 99. They beat Virginia Tech. Did anybody in 1999 say, the ACC is the best conference in America? No.
Pretty sure you'd stop short of that.
2000 Oklahoma came out of nowhere like a thief in the night under Bob Stoops' second year, won the whole ball of wax, best team, and beat a really good Florida State team in the Orange Bowl, 13-2. I'll never forget that score. Anybody fly the Big 12 banner for best conference? Don't think so. 0-1, one of the best teams I've ever seen, dominant from opening to the start, to the end. Butch Davis, it was Larry Coker's team because Butch Davis left to take the Browns job.
Yeah, that's right.
He could have still been at Miami winning. He could have gone down as one of the greatest college coaches of all time, took the Browns job and never, and then went to North Carolina and got caught up in a cheating scandal and never got. I think he got
we haven't heard from him since, right? Yeah, no.
No, he was at FIU for a little. He's one of the many people that have had those jobs. So Miami, Florida wins the national championship. All right, so did anybody then, they weren't in the ACC then. Who was pushing the narrative that the Big East was the most dominant conference?
Has taken over football conference dominance.
Nobody.
Nobody.
0-2, Ohio State upsets Miami. So the SEC during this time period hadn't even played for it since 98, Phil.
Right.
All right. So who's Ohio State upsets Miami in the Fiesta Bowl. Beat that great Miami team. I don't think anybody was saying the Big Ten's the best conference. No, Ohio State's just the best team. They pulled the upset. LSU finally wins it in 0-3. But the next 2 years, Philip, we had Southern Cal beating Oklahoma, which for some reason got the nod over the undefeated Auburn team.
I don't know why. Yeah, that's the disputed.
And then the next year, Texas beats Southern Cal, the little mini dynasty, Pete Carroll dynasty with Vince Young. Texas was not in the SEC then. Not a single person said the Pac-12 is the most dominant conference. Or then, when Texas wins it, the Big 12 is the best conference.
It's taken the overtaken the Pac-12, right? Yeah, no.
All right, I got more though. I got more. So then the SEC goes on a run, 06 to 12, Florida, LSU, Florida, Bama, Auburn, Bama, Bama. FSU knocks off Auburn in 13, and Ohio State. You know, and so that started a little downward trend. If we're taking the brain dead approach, and it's absolutely brain dead, that national championships alone judge a athletics conference's strength in college sports, you know, or college football, because other sports don't do it. So from 13 to 18, Philip, 6 years, how many national championships did the SEC win? Two. To 18, not 19. 19 started another run. Florida State won it in 13, Ohio State in 14, Bama, then Clemson, then Bama, then Clemson again. So 4 out of 6. Either one of those years, Clemson won the national title. I don't think anybody was saying the ACC was the best league because they absolutely punked everybody. They destroyed every team they played.
Right.
It was Clemson was, it was, as my friend Mike Morgan likes to say, it was Clemson was Huey Lewis. The rest of them were the news. Okay. Not sure anybody was toting the banner for the Big Ten in 14 either when Ohio State won it. Certainly the ACC in 13. Clemson was the second best team in the league that year. And Florida State beat them 51-14 on their home field.
Yes.
Okay. It was just Florida State. So nobody's saying that as recently as 2018. Right. I'll tell you the year that you could make a case for the ACC in 1 year being better than the SEC. That was 16 when Clemson won the first one. And that was because the ACC had all these great quarterbacks. You're talking Lamar Jackson, Mitch Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, you know, Evans, the guy, the 1 year wonder at Virginia Tech was really good. Justin Thomas was at Georgia Tech. Nate, what's his name? That ended up starting in the NFL. He was at Pitt. 16 was a good year in the ACC. In the SEC, I don't know how many true freshmen started, and LSU and Florida were starting transfers from Purdue. That was before the portal. Austin Appleby and Danny Etling were starting. Jalen Hurts started as a true freshman. Jake Bentley started as a true freshman. I mean, it was down. Auburn had 4 losses and went to the Sugar Bowl as the number 2 team.
Right.
That it was so. I think you could make a case that year, but nobody talked about it. I'm the only one that's talked about how good the ACC was that year. So then we go on. Bama, I mean, all right. So LSU wins, Bama wins, Georgia wins twice in a row. And then I've been through, why did Michigan win? Well, they got to play Texas and Washington. Why did Ohio State win? Because they had the best roster. Why did Indiana win? Because they had the best team. And look, nothing should be taken away from the Indiana Hoosiers, the Ohio State Buckeyes, and the Michigan Wolverines the last 3 years. Especially, I mean, Indiana, of course, was one of the craziest stories ever just on its surface. But nothing should be taken away from those programs. Nothing should be taken away from the Big Ten as a conference. They've added more good teams, and then they make their teams travel all over hell and creation, making it even tougher, which absolutely no coaches and players like. You make Southern Cal go to Purdue in November, that sucks, right? I get it. It is an upgraded conference. It's not like it used to be where Ohio State's the only team with speed. You know, I mean, it's that Oregon, and I mean, you have the California schools. They've got a good thing going to where they're competitive with the SEC. There's no doubt. But we're in a world where right now, I just don't understand. And maybe there's an explanation. I think number one, people are dumb and lazy and they don't like to think, and they've got jobs in the media for some reason. And I don't want to believe that. Right. Don't want to believe that. Although the little boy from the Detroit paper that, you know, has decided to stand on principle and not rank Alabama in the AP poll because they're playing a G League player. I think Greg, okay, so
I missed that. That's
you're gonna make a stand and change things. Great. You're a journalist. You know, my opinion is, if you want to call yourself a journalist, which I don't anymore, I would be embarrassed to call myself that given the overall state of the profession. Now, some journalists are great, yes, friends of mine, I have much respect for them, but I'm about the individual and not just putting labels on a group. I don't wish to be associated with it because the majority of journalists in sports and everywhere else are dishonest people who think that it's more their job to push narratives, and they're upset because they can't do it anymore. They don't have that power anymore, you know, because they don't matter anymore. But you got the guy up there taking a stand, and I'm not going to rank Alabama. Look, do I think it's right that they've got some booster judge that keeps extending the injunction? Oh, his lawyer can't meet today. 10 more days.
Yeah, we'll have to extend it out.
Bereaved from that movie, Nothing But Trouble.
Right.
Remember that's a. You don't know Chevy Chase, Demi. Dan Aykroyd played like four different parts. That's a Ben Franklin for me.
Yeah, man.
Remember Mr. Bone Stripper? Yeah. The freaking death coaster. Remember that? I couldn't eat hot dogs for 5-10 years after I watched that movie.
By the real way, stadium dogs. This is how I have mine. I suggest you do the same.
Sauerkraut was hanging all over. It was nasty. But anyway,
talk about showing the reins to John Candy, though. He didn't utter a damn word in that movie and then stole the show.
No, it was outstanding in that movie. But, I refuse to. The Reeves. I'm sorry. I got off track thinking about it. I was like, how did I get to a Nothing But Trouble reference? It's the magistrate for the judge from Alabama. Do I think that's right? No, I don't. And I will tell you, I think that's crazy. But it's hard to sit there and punt. Are you punishing the schools that have European pro players on their roster too? No. And I looked up this guy's bio. He's a Michigan grad. He's got a lot of political stuff in his bio that makes me think, you probably have a stereotypical viewpoint of the South. You probably push the narrative that the SEC is just a bunch of cheaters and now cheating is legal, blah, 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 and believe this. You probably buy it. And now you're going to try to take a stand against Alabama basketball like you matter that much. The right. AP polls already are shredded as far as credibility goes. And guess where that credibility has been shredded mostly, Phil? It hadn't been in the South. It's been like that lady out on the West Coast or the dude up at the Cleveland Plain Dealer that openly hates the SEC and all that. I'm like, and then you go to, and then they call themselves journalists. Well, this is journalism. No, it's not.
No, that's not true.
There's no facts associated with that. You're an advocate. You're it's advocate, you know, you're advocating or you're protesting or you're you know, you're getting into justice and stuff with this.
Regurgitating news you heard in your own words is not journalism. Yeah. And that's what we
Pat McAfee probably went too far with it a little bit. But Pat McAfee said some very interesting things about sports journalists lately. So anyway, I got sidetracked with that little guy. But I just don't understand the narrative, man. You look at the facts and then you look at the history and you know, the SEC didn't win it for years. Didn't even play for it for years. And nobody was like, oh. And here's the thing, too. One of those poll results. Nick Saban leaving Alabama did make an impact. Because as I told everyone, when everybody was like, they're the next Alabama, it's like, there's not going to be a next Alabama. And that was before NIL and the portal kicked in. You know, as hard as it was for Kurt Cignetti and Indiana to do what they did this year, that's very, very hard. It's even harder to sustain something like that for 17 years, even if you're at one of the most historically successful programs in America. That's hard, what Nick Saban did. It'll never be replicated. Never. Not for 17 years. We may have some mini runs here and there, but not for 17 years. And I get that there's a whole like generation of people that don't understand that. They don't understand the nature of the sport. They just, Alabama. Yeah, they're the same people that sit there and, you know, crow over and over again about top five recruiting classes. Well, and crap like that. And then Indiana winning now, there's this big explanation that's just because they're older. You know, and we don't know that. Maybe it is. Everybody seems to be going older, including Shane Beamer in the portal. But Beamer mentioned being older, like, during the season. So I got to give him credit for that. There was a team they played, and he was like, they're older. We like that. By the way, that was the subject of coffee this morning. So anyway, I'm just sick of this crap. I'm sick of the bull crap. I'm trying not to cuss today. Because it's terrible Tuesday. It's terrible enough as it is, Phil.
That's right. Without us having to do anything. We might get fined by Deion Sanders by using bowel language, by the way.
Is that one of his rules? I don't know, man. I think is he going to fine his coaches if they cuss?
Well, see, that's the... is this going to be assessed equally across all levels of his program? I don't know. Looks like it's just players now.
I mean... You do stuff like that, you're opening yourself up for a lawsuit. Because if their contracts that they sign with Colorado, now if it's in the contract, it's in the contract. But if it's not, I don't think you can do it.
Yeah. Preston's like, I would be okay with that if there were collective bargaining. But until said time, as there is, no, you're not going to find me, buddy.
Anyway. All right, we got some stuff in the ITG chat box. I had to get that off my chest today, folks. It's just the dumbness. I saw the poll today. I was like, I'm sick of this. And I was like, I started thinking back, and I'm like, you know, we didn't used to think this way.
Didn't used to be that way.
And I guarantee you this, though. If Alabama, it's Alabama. It's Alabama getting the crap kicked out of them by Indiana. Because in people's mind, Alabama's still the best. That's the best team in the conference.
It's even the flagship, right? Yeah.
Even though it's just 2021, Georgia hasn't won it every year. Georgia has been the best program for the last 5 years. Clearly. I know Alabama beat them in 23. I know Alabama's beat them a few times. Beat them this year in Athens, head-to-head. But Georgia's been the most consistently good. But seeing Alabama get their teeth kicked in by Indiana, that did it. And then Alabama not making it. So it's not – there's always been this jealousy toward Bama. And then people just lump the other 15 freaking teams in the SEC in with
them. Right, yeah.
So if you hate Alabama, you just hate Alabama. You know, that's fine. It's okay to do that, but there's 15 other schools. And next year, after listening, by the way, listen to the Late Night Gamecock show. It's up on podcast. Be sure to check that out. Because they went through all the teams on the schedule. Alabama, as far as their roster next year, They're going to have some play, but dude, they lost a lot of dudes. It's going to be interesting. And this may be one of those things. South Carolina feels like they're due against them after the last 2 years. So that's going to be an interesting game. Anyway, go to D's Wings tonight. It's Taco Tuesday. Also, if you're going to the Whiteout, even if you're not going to the Whiteout, this stuff is fly. Gamecock Traditions has the white South Carolina stuff. It looks really, really good. Lots of compliments on it on X today. Follow at Gamecock Traditions and just see what they're talking about. You can pick those up at their brick and mortar stores out at the Village at Sand Hill in Northeast Columbia and also in Lexington. They're open today. They were closed yesterday. But you can always get it on GamecockTraditions.com. All across this big blue orb of ours that we live on. Terrible Tuesday rolls on after these messages.
Hey, this is Cornbread Cowboy, and you're listening to the show. We'll be right back.
Palm Casual Patio Furniture are proud supporters of our Gamecocks. We have been making and supplying the highest quality outdoor furniture you can find for almost 5 decades. If you use your outdoor space to watch the Gamecocks, make it the best it can be. Visit palmcasual.com or visit one of our 4 locations in South Carolina. Go Gamecocks!
Looking for a new car? You need to think about a Kia. If you're in the market for an SUV, consider the new Kia Telluride or the new Kia Sorento. They're big, they're strong, and loaded with tech for thousands less than Honda or Toyota. You'll see the difference right away, and you get double the warranty. Plus, you get the JT's Advantage million-mile warranty and about 1,000 other things you have to see to believe.
If you want the biggest bang for your buck, it's time to think about a new JT's Kia.
We're serious about saving you money.
The Aventon Adventure 2 takes the same basic design as the original Aventon Adventure, making it an adventure bike designed to take you places that typical roads just don't reach, allowing you to ride whatever terrain you want based on your whims of the day. Look at what you're getting. Hydraulic disc brakes, torque sensor for responsive pedal assist, great LED lighting, suspension, a beautifully welded frame with excellent build quality, included rear rack, included fenders. The list just keeps going on.
Visit electricbikescharleston.com for more.
2026 is the year of the Barn Dominium, and the Barn Dominium Company wants to help you build your dream home for your family. Make your dream a reality. Change your life today. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com for floor plans, photo galleries, locations, and to learn more about us. Watch JC and Morgan every week on the Chief Sports Network. Now back to ITG.
And now back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show. Terrible Tuesday edition here of the show, as we like to call it. Although Tuesday is the most loathsome day of the week. Not Monday, as some people would have you believe. Well, excuse me.
Oh, Phil, you okay, buddy? Philip is coughing. Got some in his throat. That's happened to me a couple of times. Anyway. Yeah, Monday's not as terrible as Tuesday is. Right, Tuesday's
talking just a about pointless, Tuesday.
Pointless day. Yeah, the ghost of Tuesday got in your throat. The spirit of Tuesday. TD Noll in the ITG chat box points out that a lot of talk about Jody Jenneret getting the Conway job. And TD Noll says North Myrtle Beach's head coach is going to be good. He likes the Generette higher at Conway. T.D. Noll also points out factually that 15 of the last 25 national champions have been from the SEC. Yeah, so if you want to count that, I mean, historically.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
So that's goodness gracious, oh, Bill.
It's catching.
Now I'm coughing. Yeah. So, like, I had a little sinus twinge yesterday, and I was talking to Bradford. Bradford apparently had a sinus infection or sinus cold or something the other day. And I started thinking, like, dang it, Jamie gave that to me. I'm like, I'm 675 miles away. And I'm like sitting there thinking about the, you know, I was just talking about how, like, the lunatic way you cover sports and stuff these days and lacks common sense. I was like, and I did that. That lacks all. I've lost all touch with reality at that point, Phil.
That sounds like it. No, I'm not going to say that.
I need to go plant a tree or
an inappropriate comment.
That's okay. Bruin says he's going to be a sad Bruin if a job opens in Sumter. I don't know what Bruin is referring to. But Bruin hears things. Ben says, crazy that Michigan had three NFL head coaches on that staff in a five-year period, and the best one might not even be Harbaugh. Yeah, that's true.
Right.
And yeah, Jim Harbaugh winning the championship. I thought he would. I thought they would at least be in the playoff. And he did it kind of the old-fashioned way. You know, they were not happy with him there for a while. You remember they lost to Carolina that year and in the Outback Bowl. And then they got to the playoff finally, and they lost to Georgia pretty bad. That game wasn't even close. And then that last year, he had the best team in the country. You know, yeah, I think Georgia would have given him a game because they're physical, just like Alabama did.
Right.
They were tough, and a kind of a throwback team too. But yeah, that's it. All right, this is an interesting topic I wanted to get to. Blake brings it up, aka Queen of the Cox. Rivals.com gave Julian Walker his fifth star. They do. I had this written down. Ranked him number 15 overall in the country. Okay. Mm. So this guy's climbed because he was sitting at about, I don't know where he was with On Three and Rivals, but he was sitting at about 150-ish by 24/7. We'll see if 24/7 moves him up. They don't always agree on everybody, but 24/7 had him at the Navy Bowl up at the top performers all week too. So I would be surprised if he was not a composite or consensus five star. So that brings another five star to Shane Beamer's program. Okay. And it's a DN too. And that's good because your DNs and your offensive tackles, which is what they basically, 3/5 of the five star Shane Beamer signed have been offensive tackle, defensive end. So that would be five now, Phil.
Yeah.
In Shane Beamer's tenure, that's the second one from in state. There hasn't five stars they've missed out on in state would be Amari Adams ended up being a five star.
Yeah.
And went to Clemson. Other than that, there hasn't been a lot of five stars in the state. Josiah Thompson obviously was a five. So that's Nick Harbor, Dylan Stewart, Josiah Thompson, Darius Gray, who's incoming, and now Julian Walker, assuming 24/7 sports doesn't overthink it like they did with Dylan Stewart when they were like, I don't know what his ceiling is. I still think he hadn't reached his ceiling. I think Dylan's got to get a lot better against the run, and there's things he needs to work on. So I definitely think there's a ceiling for me. It was just the natural ability that he had. But I digress. So I don't think there's ever been a history just in the modern recruiting era where a head coach and his staff, Phil, have signed this many five stars. Now, five stars alone don't make your roster, right?
Right.
But it does go to show you, what it does tell you is you're winning some battles against some good teams, because there's not a single five star out there that whatever school signs them doesn't have to hold off an absolute monster to get them. you know, mm-hmm. even when the monsters are fighting the other monsters, even Alabama had to hold off Georgia or Ohio State or Clemson at the time or whoever. So I think that shows you that as far as the pitch and the relationship building and what they're selling on the high school recruiting trail, I think that's working.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at it, of course, it has to work. Just because if you look at how many talented players Shane Beamer has been able to attract to South Carolina relative to, say, the last 3 or 4 years heading into his era and how this program was. I'm not saying it was bad under Will Muschamp. I will say it probably underperformed relative to the talent that was on the field, just because that was one of the biggest gripes is the team continues to put guys in the league, yet they're not getting in the league results on the field. And South Carolina being a mid-tier SEC school is a good starting place, but
yeah.
It doesn't attract this kind of talent in this kind of volume, not just from within the state. You make a good point in that these guys are not all just coming from South Carolina as, you know, grown up under the shadow of Williams-Brice Stadium. They're coming from all over the place. Especially
Julian Walker.
The area. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Julian Walker didn't even grow up in South Carolina.
No, he's a transplant. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's four of the five that, you know, I mean, and you look at who they've beat, and they beat Oregon head-to-head for Nick Harbor. They beat Ohio State. So who was second for Dylan Stewart? Depends on who you talk to. Some say Miami, some say Ohio State, some say Georgia. He committed early, though, and never, ever wavered. Like, that dude's kind of – you kind of think about it, that dude's loyal, you know?
Yeah. He really
I mean,
is.
Because when he committed and then sat through a losing season, 5-7. Then got here and then set the world on fire early on and had a really good freshman year. He comes back. They still won't call holding against him. He didn't have a ton of help on defense, although he had more than you think. And then he hurt his back, which is painful for what yeah. with a guy that bends like that and contorts his body. That's terrible. Every reason in the world to say, this isn't working out. Like tangible reasons, maybe a fresh start would do good. He just sticks with it. His buddy Lee, I mean, not his buddy, sorry. Maybe that's telling you. His coach, Sterling Lucas, which was like, I'm here as long as Sterling's here. That's all we heard. He leaves, goes to LSU. Gosh, LSU needs defensive ends. Boy, they've got other players too they're getting. You can get on there and star. Doesn't do it, stays. Remains. It's like Independence Day. Negative. Target remains. Yeah. So I got to give that guy credit. He's been, you know, just in terms of loyalty, which is kind of a lost art these days anywhere. And it's not just I like him because he's a Gamecock, you know.
Right.
That's not, I respect that. Hey, I respect CJ Spiller for staying at Clemson. It's turned into a job for him, right? He's
right. Parlayed that.
Remember
right
when he was about to go to Florida, had just won a national championship, and Urban, they wanted him to transfer. And that would have been kind of a missing piece for them as well, because at the time they had these little tiny backs. They had like one big back that was okay, and then they had Chris Rainey and Jeff Dimps. And that was perfectly fine because their battering ram was Tim Tebow. And Spiller wasn't that big either, but boy, you added CJ Spiller to that offense. My God.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. Of South Carolina's top 10 historically, the highest ranked historic recruits are in Shane Beamer's era. That's across four different coaches.
That's pretty solid. Yeah. Jordan Burch and Zach Pickens were 5 stars, but they played for Beamer though. So you could say Beamer's coached more 5 stars than anybody else. 5 stars on the front end. You know, and really, Gabriel Brownlow Dindy was a 5-star out of high school. So if you want to count him too, that's 6. That'll be on the roster next year.
Right.
6 former 5-stars. 6
former
will be on this roster next year. 6. Man, Carolina didn't.
Around, man.
in the whole Spurrier era, we're talking composites before anybody says, you know, I know Chris Culliver was a five-star by Rivals.
Right.
Even Gilmore and Jeffrey were not, Alshon Jeffrey were not, they were great players. Stephon probably should have been. I think a lot of people, I was at ESPN at the time and they didn't know. They thought he may be a safety. Stephon Gilmore was hard to project because he played high school quarterback and he's built like a safety. And a lot of quarterbacks play turn to safety. So you're safety, you know? And I kind of bought into it because I got burnt by Eric Berry, who I thought was who actually was 5'11". I thought he was a corner, a high school quarterback, but he was a safety and an elite safety, both in Tennessee and the NFL. Elite.
Mm-hmm.
But Ellis Johnson knows better than me. He's forgotten more about football than anybody, than anybody on this broadcast. And Stephon started at corner day one. And didn't ever not start.
Right.
And ended up being a top 10 pick. And but those guys, my point was, those guys were not five-star players. You know Mark Jadeveon Clowney was a five-star and Marcus Lattimore was a five-star. I think that's it. Carolina's got six.
Six. On the six. Rest.
So, man.
So all it's right, now or never.
No.
Yeah. So you got a little backfire, right? Yeah. Sorry.
We got a little musical guest. Yeah, it could backfire, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It could definitely backfire. but yeah, so if Julian Walker ends up being a five, then that's another highly rated recruit. The fifth out of high school, sixth overall. Blake says, can you say blue chip ratio? I don't know. The blue chip ratio is gonna matter after what Indiana did. So Indiana had seven blue chip prospects. That's four and five stars overall,
right,
on their roster. South Carolina's got six five stars. I don't think it matters.
No,
because I think Lenore Sellers is as five star can get. But he was like a low four, high three coming out.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick Emanwore, that's a five star prospect.
Right, and exactly. Yeah,
could have been out of high school. Had the pandemic not hit, and then Carolina just kind of scooped him up. Craiger says it's the best Carolina's ever recruited. Jocko says Kiffin knew if he brought Sterling Lucas to LSU, they would get Dylan Sike. The guy loves it here. And that's it. So, Craiger mentions Eric Berry was a monster. Yes, he was.
Yes, he was, Brett.
We have some early Super Bowl odds for next year's Super Bowl, Phil. The Commanders are listed. So are the Falcons and Panthers. I know everybody likes the Panthers. Bears are on there a little lower. Not even the highest, not even the best odds in their division. Not even second best odds in their division.
That's interesting. I was impressed with what Ben Johnson was able to put together in his first season. I was not expecting
that. I kind of expected Caleb Williams to struggle with the system a little bit. Even some of the bloggers up here were like, because they got a backup they like in Tyler Bagnett. And they were like, Ben Johnson's not going to mess around with Caleb. He's going to bench him, and Tyler Bagnett will be the starter. I don't know about that. Caleb had a magical year. I was surprised Caleb was as clutch as he was. But he was. You can't deny that.
No, I mean, you know, good at the off-schedule stuff, which can be, you know, difference-making.
Very, very difference-making. So, anyway, but we'll wait and see what 24/7 Sports has Julian Walker ranked, and that's – that's a good thing for the Gamecocks from a PR standpoint. We'll see what Julian can do when he gets to campus. But, yeah, you always want to get five-star talent if you can. As Indiana showed us, not the end-all be-all anymore. Right. But it is, when you talk about potential and projection and stuff, it is kind of historic, and nobody's ever recruited like this in South Carolina on paper. All righty. We'll be back, and we got something kind of cool on the other side teed up for you. It's a musical guest.
I love the premise.
I hope you'll enjoy it. We'll be back on the show second hour after this.
Coffee, weekday mornings with J.C. Sherbert. Watch or listen on the Chief Sports app, the Chief Sports YouTube page, available on Apple and Spotify.
When you buy and sell your sports and fitness gear at Play It Again Sports, you support a local business. We pay our customers for their quality used sports and fitness gear and resell it, recycling it back into your community. Support local, score savings. Play It Again
Sports. So, Mason, what do you focus on in the law? My answer to that is I'm a personal injury lawyer. I like to help people that are injured as a result of somebody else's negligence or in a workers' compensation matter get back to normal. That's where my passion is. But what I want everyone out there to understand is more important to me is that I'm your trusted resource for any problem that you may have.
Visit westlawfirmsc.com.
At Moultrie Insurance, our agents are working for you. Our commercial lines of coverage are well-sourced and intimately chosen. We offer commercial lines of coverage such as business owners, umbrella, property, auto, or general liability coverage, and evaluate every option to find what fits you best. Like a good offensive coordinator, we will draw up the plays, but only run with what you feel comfortable. Get in touch with our quarterback, Perry Orth, or our head coach, Frank, by visiting MoultrieIns.com. MoultrieIns.com. Moultrie Insurance, proud supporters of the South Carolina Gamecocks.
This is a breaking news event. We now have boiled peanuts without the shells.
Sorry, Alex. Did you say boiled peanuts without the shells?
Yes, boiled peanuts. No shells. Go to GameDayNuts.net and order them for game day.
...2026 is the year of the Barn Dominium. And the Barn Dominium Company wants to help you build your dream home for your family. Make your dream a reality. Change your life today. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com for floor plans, photo galleries, locations, and to learn more about us.
Welcome to SEC Sunday Night, part of the Chief Sports Network. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. on the Chief Sports app, the Chief Sports YouTube channel, and on our X accounts. Hosted by Rob Williams and Craig McMichael, talking the week that was and what's to come in the SEC. Join us every week for SEC Sunday Night on the Chief Sports Network.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
Welcome to Dry Space Crawl Space Solutions. Basement crawl space encapsulation designed for your specific needs. Your crawl space can be susceptible to all sorts of issues, including moisture buildup, mold growth, and structural damage if not cared for properly. Let our trained experts provide basement crawl space encapsulation solutions to protect your home, improve air quality, and enhance energy efficiency. Schedule your consultation today for a safer, healthier space at dryspacecs.com. Dry Space Crawl Space Solutions, proud supporters of your South Carolina Gamecocks.
Tune in every Friday at 9 a.m. to the Four Quarter Friday High School Show on the Chief Sports Network.
And now, the show goes on.
We'll be right back.
1980, a pizza parlor in small town America switched on a band that would change rock and roll forever.
They're just here to entertain kids while the pie's cool. That's it.
They became the most popular animatronic band in the world.
Hello, Cleveland!
And just when it seemed like they couldn't be stopped, the price of fame brought an end to the music.
The Rockafire Explosion's Billy Bob Broccoli was arrested today in Tuscaloosa on drug charges.
Tuscaloosa.
You can't keep doing this.
I'm fine, Mitzi. Leave me alone.
You're completely out of sync.
We are literally falling apart.
I let him down.
Then came their one shot to pull it all back together.
Maybe I can make it right.
This summer, the Rockafire Explosion. The true story of the band that couldn't be programmed.
I love that.
I saw this today, early this morning. And said,
when you said that to me, I'm like, oh, this is so good.
This is wonderful. I mean, I'm not a Chuck E. Cheese fan. I'm a showbiz kid, right? They had showbiz in Greenville. They didn't have anything like that in Spartanburg. We had Mr. Gaddy's. There was no animatronic band at Mr. Gaddy's.
No.
But there was at Showbiz Pizza in Greenville, right there next to the mall, where the, I think there's an O'Charlie's there now or something. I don't know.
Well, it is currently a Chuck E. Cheese.
It is a Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah, because Chuck E. Cheese bought out Showbiz.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like Chuck E. Cheese. But Showbiz, dude, it was a little more classy, a little bit more, you know, kind of Disney-esque, you know. And I like the characters better. And the Rockafire Explosion still lives on
in
all of our hearts. And I'll never forget it. And I saw this today, and, you know, there's a He-Man movie coming out.
I saw that.
You know, it's interesting. You know, I like nostalgia a little bit, but this got me going more than the He-Man movie. Now, this is not this is obviously AI generated.
Unfortunately, this has not been greenlit.
I mean, look at the picture here on the screen. Look at that station wagon with the wood paneling.
Oh, I know.
Who our age did not, or did not know someone that had a station wagon with wood paneling?
I mean, I've ridden in the back of them, and they weren't mine, you know.
Honestly, I wish they still made those.
Stranger Things phenomenon, right? Because it's just like it taps into and this final season really has. Like, I'm about halfway through it, and it is. There are so many little Easter eggs that just make your heart all warm.
Yeah.
Watching that.
We're getting older, man.
I know.
I was thinking today, I went into deep thought about like 2026, I was a bicentennial baby, so I turned 50 this year in December, so I got a ways to go. But it's also 86 was the first year I followed Carolina football, so it's like 40 calendar years now.
Yeah, man.
It'll be 40 years when this season started. I think we've already done 40 seasons, but I think 40, you know, it's been 40 years. So I started thinking, I was like, man, that's a long time. And it seems like yesterday. And I think stuff like this, the downside to it is sometimes I just sit there and really this started happening, Phil, like the last three, maybe since the pandemic, maybe a little less. Like I used to look at it and be like, well, it sucked back then. There was no internet, blah, 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 you know, hard to communicate. But now I look back on it and they're like, would you like to go back to 1995? Yes, I would.
Yes, please.
Absolutely.
That's right.
I will do. They get like the generated pictures of like the mall back then, and you know, you can just smell the Dracar Noir and Obsession for Men on everybody. Whatever the chicks wore back then.
It's one of the things hair. That I will give Greenville though is like we still have a mall. Like the Haywood Mall is still going strong. It is, you know, not like half empty either. It's, you know, 90% capacity. So it's nice. It's nice. The only thing we lost was Sears. And of course, once a year, they turn that into a Halloween Express.
For real? They actually do that?
Oh, yeah. Halloween it's like the past 4 years, ever since Sears has been gone, Halloween Express comes in.
I wanted this Transformer really bad Soundwave and Buzzsaw, the jam box. And they never had it because I think the time I was in a trans.
Oh, did we lose you permanently or is that just
me? Are we back?
Okay, good. Yeah, we're back. We're back. I thought that was me.
No, I'm back now. So the time I was into Transformers, they were super popular. Everybody was completely sold out, especially one. So my mom and I are at Kmart one day, and I see it, and she forgot her checkbook. That's back when you could write a check at Kmart, right?
That's right.
And so she didn't have enough cash on her, and there were no ATMs or anything. So she was like, oh, gosh, we'll come back and get it. So we came right back and got it. It was gone. But my mom, I remember, went and we ordered it out of the catalog at Sears. Had to wait 17 days. And then it came in and I had my toy. So I'll always have fond memories of Sears. Do you know that in my dating life between my first wife and second wife, I actually dated two women in different states whose dads worked at Sears as a career?
Oh, wow. That's funny.
One in Tennessee, one in South Carolina. Both of them. Dads worked at Sears. I was like, well, there's more for your life there, but there's not enough for my life here, so I'm out.
I'm out. I'm out.
I'm out. If I need a dishwasher, I'll call you.
That's right. That's right. I'm looking for a deal on a dishwasher. Incidentally.
Blake's nanny retired from Sears, worked at 2 decades at the one at Westgate. Yeah, that's where I got my toy that time. The Sears back at Westgate.
That's funny.
Ben still wears Drakkar Noir. Hell, I do too.
Hey, hold on. Yeah, listen, don't give it up. If it was good then, it's good now.
Paul McJunkin has entered the chat. Oh, let me answer this real quick. Well, just to finish up with Julian Walker. Yes, he is an early enrollee.
Yeah.
He is early. McJunkin. McJunkin has entered the chat, Phil. He started at Godiva in 91, went to Diamond Show Club in 96. Greenville Staples there. Went to Trophy Club in 98 to 01. My brother used to go to Trophy Club. That was over by the airport, right?
Mm-hmm.
Spent 10 years working in strip clubs. The stories I could tell you. Used to ride. Oh, yeah. Oh, he worked there.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, I'm sitting here like, wait a minute. He worked. Yeah, that's
Mike Junkin is a adult entertainment professional.
Yes.
Awesome. And then he's got another banger. Used to ride to school in my dad's 77 Country Squire wagon.
That's right.
A painter, called it the paint wagon. Yeah, a lot of painters drove those. Painters, plumbers, guys like that. Blake recommends Netflix, His and Hers. Sounds like a chick flick, but it's not as it seems. Murder mystery kind of thing.
Actually,
my wife would dig that probably.
Yeah, she. My wife watched that over the weekend, and I caught about half of it. It is good. It's good.
Oh, it is good. I have to check that out. Hell Rooster says everyone lost Sears. Yes, we all did.
That's right.
Everyone. Oh, goodness. Craig's granddad worked in management for Sears for 34 years. Man, you're coming out of the woodwork now. I think it was because of that transformer while all these people in my life are connected to Sears somehow.
It was. Like, that was some sort of, turning point. Influential, I don't know what you call it, but, I don't know.
It just was... just one of those things. All right. So on to bigger and better things. Now that we've had our nostalgia fix, our shows are always, I always feel better when we have the nostalgia fix.
Yeah. There's a little piece.
Whether it's a VHS dates or something, or the Rockafire explosion or something like that. So
taps into a simpler time for which we all crave right now, whether or not we did or not.
So I mentioned this. I will go through this briefly since it's inside the Gamecocks, not inside the NFL. Although I remember inside. Remember inside the NFL?
Inside the NFL, HBO. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was inside that HBO or was that the Showtime one?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I can't remember.
I know the NFL Today was CBS.
Yeah.
It's Jimmy. I remember Jimmy the Greek.
Jimmy the Greek.
Boy. He got canceled before when nobody was getting canceled.
That's right.
Yeah. That dude. Wow.
Pioneer.
So I get this. It's for betonline.ag, Jimmy Shapiro, who sounds well, that sounds like Jimmy the Greek.
Speaking of Jimmy the Greek. Jimmy
Shapiro sent me this email. The Buffalo Bills hired Joe Brady. I don't know that Panther fans. I know we got a bunch of them. Oh, it was HBO, Lynn Dawson.
Chaco, yeah, said. Thank you, Chaco.
Mm-hmm. I know we got a bunch of Panthers fans. Has Joe Brady done anything to impress anybody? I mean, the Bills were pretty good on offense before he took over. Since LSU, when he just kind of helped Steve Ensminger call them. I mean, I know he's up for all these jobs, but, I mean, now he's the head coach. They just decided, well, McDermott's the problem, and Joe Brady, right? Ben says he wasn't the problem in Carolina. Matt Rhule is a buffoon, which makes me think, too, you know, Dana Holgorsen didn't have all that great of a year at Nebraska. It's not like I thought they were. And they lost their quarterback. Maybe Matt Rhule is a buffoon. I mean, there's some proof there. I thought
you were about to say maybe Holgorsen's about to go to Buffalo to run Joe Brady's offense.
So Panther fans said Joe's a solid OK OC. So maybe he'll go. Well, anyway, this email from Jimmy Shapiro, the Bills have the best odds to make the Super Bowl next year. 9-1. After that, we have the Rams, Seahawks, 10-1. We have the Eagles, 12-1. That's not too bad, right? Not too bad there with the Eagles. Detroit Lions, Green Bay Packers, Kansas City Chiefs, New England Patriots, all 14-1. Baltimore Ravens, who also kind of promoted from within. Jesse Minter used to be there. You know that those of you that were around in 04, Strick played for that team. Rick Minter was the defensive coordinator at South Carolina for a year under Holtz. And that's his dad. Jesse is his son. So there is a Gamecock connection to whoever got the Ravens job there. But they're at 16-1, along with the 49ers and Chargers. Jags, 18-1. The Chicago Bears, Denver Broncos, Houston Texans, 20-1. Bengals, 22-1. Interesting. After that, Dallas Cowboys, Tampa Bay, 33-1. Indianapolis, 40-1. The New York Football Giants and Phil's Washington Commanders / Redskins, 45-1. This next little batch may disturb some of you. The Panthers are 50-1. Vikings, 50-1. Steelers, 50-1. Falcons, who I don't understand why they hire the people they do, 60-1. We got the Browns, we got the Saints, we got the Titans at 100-1. Bringing up the rear, the Jets, Dolphins, Raiders, and Cardinals, 150-1. I don't know, man. I'll probably put some money on the Bears. I put $5 on the Bears last year after the Super Bowl, and I think it was they were like, I would have won like 300 and something bucks or 60 to 1.
Wow.
So anyway, yeah. Apparently, Brady wants Raheem Morris as his DC. That would be a home run hire. Yeah, as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
You can't let Raheem Morris anywhere near being the head coach.
No.
But inside the NFL, Dan Marino was on it for a couple of years. So, yeah. So that should be good. Brady's still riding the success he had with Burrow. He's done nothing, in my opinion. T.D. Noll has a contrary opinion about Joe Brady. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think he got a ton of credit for LSU because, you know, he that one year they were spectacular.
Yeah.
But if you take a closer look at when they put eyes on the booth, he was standing there with his binoculars kind of calling things out, and it was Ensminger who was calling it and charting it and stuff. So they worked together as a team. I always thought that could be a good thing to do. In fact, when they fired Shula this past year, I thought, you know, you could have Elliott sitting there, kind of like Spurrier, Furries, I don't know, something. That didn't happen, though. So, anywho, that's the NFL thing. I find it interesting that the Bills are, you know, the number one. I mean, yeah, I guess I kind of felt like they would make a run this year because it feels like it's just time, but. And aren't they moving into their new stadium? They're moving to their new stadium next year, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, this is the last year.
They didn't chicken out.
No.
In Buffalo.
It's still open air. I mean, it's still covered like, for a bit. Yeah, it's
covered a little more.
And but with more heat Bears, available, I'm sure.
Bears are building a dome, which I think could end up being stupid at the end of the day. But, I mean, everybody else, Green Bay is the only ones that play outside. So, anyway. I don't know. Brady, you know, so anyway. Oh, the Bill Stadium caught fire, Hill Rooster says.
That is a stadium.
They call it Resto Pros of the Midlands.
That's right. That's right.
This building is on fire. So anyway, Panthers at 50-1. I don't know. You know, Panthers, because in the NFL too, how they do it is if you have a good year, your schedule is harder the next year.
Right.
Or you're playing teams that were good the previous year. So the Bears schedule is going to get harder. The Panthers schedule will get harder. Hmm. That kind of thing. So we'll see kind of how it goes. Eli Ellis, we'll talk a little basketball here. He's supposed to be back on Wednesday. And let me just ask this. So I'm going to complain. I mean, I know I've complained a little bit today. I'm going to complain about something else. I'm going to complain about the SEC. All right. So in the SEC, you have two time zones. You have the Eastern time zone, and then you have the Central time zone, Phil, right? So in the Eastern time zone is Kentucky, Tennessee, South CAC, Florida, and Georgia. That's how many teams? Five?
Five.
The other 11 are in the Central time zone, right? So tell me why the geniuses in Birmingham, when they're filling out the basketball schedule, are having South Carolina and Florida tip at 9 o'clock at night on a Wednesday.
That does not make any sense.
None.
That should be a 6 o'clock tip or a 7 o'clock tip, rather. Yeah.
I don't know. I'll ask the people out there, like, do you like the 9 o'clock home basketball games? I know probably people from around the state don't, because I think that's a late night getting home if you have to work the next day.
Yeah, no doubt.
But in Columbia, do you like them? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I in football, I don't mind an 8 o'clock kick, you know, and it's for certain games. You know, but it's on a Saturday. You can kind of sleep in the next day.
Well, it's interesting. There are four games tomorrow, JC, in the SEC. Mississippi State at LSU, Tennessee at Georgia, Texas at Auburn. So two of those are exclusively Central time zone games. Yeah. And then there's Florida at South Carolina. All three of the other games begin at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, and this one's at 9.
9.
And it's two Eastern time zone teams. I don't understand. I think that's just crazy. The women tip, now Auburn's just over the line of the Central time zone. But they go to Auburn Thursday, they're playing at 9 o'clock. I'm like, you're out of your damn mind doing this. And you've got 13 other schools in the league that are in, that 8 o'clock is not so bad, right? Mm-hmm. And you're going to make Florida and South Carolina tip at 9. And this has been going on for a long time. There's no rhyme or reason to any of it. And I don't know if it's TV maybe saying, hey, we want the good, whether it's based on, you know, because basketball television schedules are not week to week. You know, they just set them at the beginning of the season. I don't know if maybe they're just like, well, we want these teams in this spot. Well, that sucks too, because again, TV's already done. And I love TV. I love the fact everything. I mean, look, we're on a video right now. We're on,
right. Yeah, we're on TV right now, right?
I'm like, I'm not hating on the technology or the fact everything's televised. I love that. That's awesome. But we already have these conferences that are spread out all over the country now because of it. We've already got, you know, the time commitment to competing in games as a student athletes has grown exponentially because everybody's going zigzagging everywhere, going through airports and all that stuff. And we've already all done that and sacrificed that at the altar of television. Why do we need to make fans who we continue to spit on and we continue to just say, shut up and pay me to shut up, pay me, shut up, pay me, shut up, pay me, shut up, watch this TV. Shut up, make my rankings go up, make my ratings go up so I can make money.
Money.
Right? We've already done all that. And now we're just going to make everybody in the Eastern time zone play at 9 o'clock at night on a Wednesday. It's bad enough as it is. And the SEC, it's not so bad. But man, I mean, you're also talking about they don't think anything of it to make, you know, a team from out yonder, you know, on the east, go all the way to Austin, Texas on a Tuesday night. Right.
Yeah.
They play.
Oh, I was wondering, like, what is it that, like, there's nothing on the main network college wise. So I was like, well, I wonder what's on the main network. And I'm like, oh, yes, the NBA on ESPN.
Stream it, dude, or something.
Right. I mean, yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's kind of nuts. So I don't like that at all. But Eli Ellis is going to be back. I mean, Phil, do you think that matters? I mean, Florida's awfully good, number one, and then number two, they're coming off taking an L at home to what's becoming a very inconsistent Auburn team, but they lost in Gainesville. To Auburn, 76-67.
Well, you like to have your most talented players available, right? And I don't think anybody would argue that Eli Ellis has talent. Will it matter? I don't know. I mean, he can't defend in the post, JC. So, I mean, that's going to be a problem against this Florida team because
they're big.
They will get down there and play big because they have good big players. So I don't know. Will it matter? Yeah, I like him. He's very aggressive. It might give, you know, the opportunity for somebody else to run point as opposed to Michi when, you know, give him a little break. But there again, like, if Michi could play 40 minutes, you want Michi to play 40 minutes because he's your best player right now. He's the most productive over the past couple of games. I mean, yeah. So will it matter? I don't know. It all depends.
That's kind of like the next two are at home, and, you know, LSU is going to come in looking for revenge. But
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot like last year's team, unfortunately, as far as results go, in that this team does play better at home. I mean, they played pretty doggone well against Georgia at home, let it slip away at the end because they couldn't shoot. They beat Oklahoma. The Vanderbilt game, Vanderbilt just came in on, you know, that was a different story. So the three SEC games at home, they've been somewhat competitive and really competitive if you don't count Vandy. So I don't know. They nearly beat Florida last year. Actually should have had that game, really. But there's no Colin Murray Boyles this year. No. This group's a little different, but
and specific to Eli, like you're getting a shooter back on the court who did not have a bad night, like an epically bad night last, you know, over the weekend. He's coming in fresh, thinking he can still hit the ball. You know, he can still hit the basket. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, from a mental standpoint, maybe it's good to have somebody who's kind of fresh off of a 3-game, you know, sit down. We'll see how he's feeling though. Coming on, an ankle is tough, like, because you're constantly using it in this game.
Ruben Chinilu.
Chinilu.
Ben in the chat box says 35-15. Yeah, he's a monster.
Yeah, I mean,
absolute monster. Started his career at Washington State.
Oh, really? I realized he was a transfer
2 years ago. It's a transfer, but you gotta find those big guys, man. So anyway, that's happening tomorrow, 9:00. If you could stay up, watch it. Krager hates it. Krager's like 9:00 SMFH. Robert says I don't like playing at 9:00.
No.
So yeah, it's not that good. Not that good at all. So yeah, I have it written down on my notes here. 9 PM sucks. Like 12 sucks for the college football playoff. 9 PM tip offs suck. And it's 8 my time. I don't even know why I'm personally complaining. I hate it for all you guys. I mean, 9:00, man, you can't even go, like, eat. Like you may as well take Thursday off and just get drunk. Like, just go to the bar.
That's right. Just go drink.
Like, go to happy hour, have you a burger, and then just raw dog it all the way through, beers and all. Get your hotel room in the Vista, pass out, make some bad decisions on a Wednesday night. Because literally, like, let's say you eat dinner at 6 at home. What are you going to do for 2 hours? You got 2 hours to kill before if you're an army, before you make your way down to the, what are you doing?
That makes zero sense.
I mean, I just don't. And it's the same way when they tipped off games at 5 in the non-conference. It's like, well, or 6 is not good either. 7 is kind of the right time. 7:30 is the right time for weekday games. Because at 6, if you get off at 5 and you roll up to Irmo or out to the Northeast or wherever, then you got to get back on the highway and go through traffic and fight your way back down. I mean, that you don't have time to eat. So you're grabbing a hot dog or going and seeing TK Oriental.
That's right.
The man. You know, do you know he's Thai?
Is he really?
You know Sam's Thai?
I did not know.
I've researched that. I've never met him, but once, but not with Nat. But we come down this summer. I'm going to try to make it a point to meet him.
Yeah.
Because she will look at him and go, Sveti Cop. It's hello in Thai. Sveti Cop. Sweaty Cup.
Sweaty cup. I thought it was sweaty cop.
I had one of them when I played peewee baseball. Sweaty cup. My dad got me one of those things. What's this for? Well, in case you catch a ground ball somewhere you don't want it to.
Where you don't want it.
So, anyway. All right, final break. Going to get the final break in here on Terrible Tuesday on the show. Going to talk a little recruiting when we get back. We told you about Trey Sagara setting his official visit and the other stud running back in the state. It's not wide open Wednesday, so my boy Roger from Woodruff can't give us an update, but Aiden Gibson has set an official visit to South Carolina.
Oh, nice.
There's an intriguing tight end out of the Houston, Texas area, the Woodlands, actually. Visiting this weekend. I kind of like him. He's big, looks good. Although the two tight ends they've gotten out of Texas in the Beamer era have not, Reed McKeska and Austin Stogner have not panned out. No. But this is a guy that's visiting this weekend. Let's talk about that. Somebody wants to talk about Diego Pavia. I didn't think Diego Pavia was going to play NFL football anyway. So I don't know why everybody's giving him crap for being 5'9". It's probably because he acted like an asshole this year. Damn it, I cussed. Wasn't trying to do it. So, every mentor I've ever had, my parents, my mom, everybody, my wife, if you're going to act like that, you better be great.
Right.
Because if you're not, everybody's going to, when you have a moment of weakness or something like that, people are going to rejoice.
They're coming at you.
Treat people the right way. He got too full of himself. I think after he sued the NCAA and won, he thought he was indestructible.
Right. As if that were some sort of feat. The NCAA's been taking L's in courtrooms for decades, buddy.
Maybe he's Doug Flutie and Kyler Murray. Who knows? I mean, I don't want to count him out as a player. I love him as a player, but he took it too far this year.
Yeah.
Like, he took it way too far. Him and unfunny Theo Vaughn and sort of funny Nick, all the Vandy fans that came out of the woodwork took a little too far.
I wonder how long they're going to hang on next year.
Well, they return the least amount of starting snaps on the offensive line.
I saw that.
The least. And they're going to have a new quarterback. Is it going to be Jared Curtis? Rob Williams. Rob Williams has had two beautiful takes on SEC Sunday Night recently. Number one, not sold on Jared Curtis. I'm not sold on him as a first-year starter because he played dog crap competition. And he does some things that are like, woo, whoa, but you know what? I look like Michael Jordan out there in church basketball playing against bad players when I was in high school. Do I think he could be good? Yes. Do I think it was a huge win for Vandy? Yes. Would he have been a five-star at the back end? Maybe for me. Okay. I'd have to see him in person to really solidify. So I agree with that. And then number two, he adopted what I've been saying about transfer portal rankings. They don't matter, number one. And then number two, they're unfortunate. He was talking about how LSU fans now, because they had the number one portal class for the second straight year.
Right.
That's going to shoot expectations through the roof. Yeah. It's through the roof. Lane Kiffin. That's another game. Speaking of treating people the right way, Lane Kiffin better not lose. That's all you got to say. Some of these coaches, you just look at them, shake your head, and you better not lose. Mad respect. Yeah, Bobby's antics after the Heisman. Harrison points out final nail.
It all culminated to that, and that was just the worst look ever.
Yeah, dude. What? I mean, look. Say what you want. Voters in college football. Yeah, that Mike Morgan notwithstanding, because Mike's a Heisman voter.
True.
All of them leave a lot to be desired, so I get that. But don't show your butt. Respect the game a little more than that. If you hadn't fumbled against Alabama, kid, twice, and thrown a pick, turnovers against Alabama by you, mm-hmm. your team would have been in the playoff.
That's right.
So, anyway. Oh, thanks to all our sponsors, including Resto Pro, The Barndo Co., JT's Kia, all those great people. Again, if you're going to stay up and go to the game, if you're going to take a five-hour energy around 6 o'clock and go to the game, head to Gamecock Traditions. Get your whiteout Gamecock gear, because it is a whiteout this weekend. Baseball team scrimmaging the next 3 days. I'll have those times for you when we get back for the final segment of the show after this.
The story of Game Day Nuts is a simple one, really. One summer day on the coast of North Carolina, Tommy and Russ were on the beach enjoying the warm ocean breeze, talking about the upcoming college football season, and eating that quintessential Southern treat, fresh boiled peanuts. But time and time again, as they cracked open the boiled peanuts, either the shells they were opening were empty, or the peanuts inside the shells were getting stuck. They thought to themselves, there has to be a better way to enjoy this Southern treat. And with that, they set out to solve the problem, and Game Day Nuts was born.
Get the shell out of here. Visit GameDayNuts.net and change your boiled peanut experience forever.
New year, better floors. Now is the time. Refinish your hardwood floors with Recoat Revolution. Beautiful like new floors in just one day. No dust, affordable, and 5 stars. Give us a call in South Carolina, 803-397-1365. Or visit us at RecoatRevolution.com. Go Gamecocks!
Gamecock Traditions is your one-stop shop for all things South Carolina. From apparel to tailgating, children's clothing to kitchenware, jewelry, or even gift cards. If it exists, it exists at Gamecock Traditions. Ship it to your home via GamecockTraditions.com or go see our friends in Lexington. Gamecock Traditions, a family tradition. Go Gamecocks.
Sell your quality sports and fitness equipment to Play It Again Sports and get paid. Recycling your in-demand sports gear keeps it available in your community. Sell, buy, trade, and win with Play It Again Sports!
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show, firing off final segment of a terrible Tuesday that we've turned around, as we usually do. Don't feel quite so bad about the day as I did when I fired things up here at about 10 o'clock this morning for the morning show. Not too bad at all.
Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness. Baseball scrimmages. They're scrimmaging today, and all these are free and open to the public, by the way. Founders Park. Three-inning scrimmage starting at 4. At least it's not 9 o'clock. What if the baseball team first pitch was 9?
Well, you got to test out the lights at Founders. You got
tomorrow, 4-inning scrimmage at 4, and Thursday, another 4-inning scrimmage at 4. Baseball opens their scrimmages to the public, unlike other sports. I guess there's not as much strategery that goes on in baseball.
Yeah.
It just kind of is what it is. So, anyway, that's the deal there. Also, oh, I'm glad JB mentioned Marcellus Dial, because I mentioned this too today. We've been talking about the South Carolina players that were in the Super Bowl and Ernest, both sides. Marcellus Dial is still with the Patriots. He tore his ACL in preseason camp and was on IR, but he still gets a ring. I mean, Nick Muse got a ring with the Eagles last year. He was on the practice squad, so I think. So there's that. Jake Sneed from John Cooper School in the Woodlands. It's a very ritzy suburb. It's the nice part of Houston.
It sounds like it.
The Woodlands is very nice. It's massive, too. 6'6", 235, good athlete, can jump up and get the ball. Offer list right now, Georgia State's in there, Jacksonville State, not a lot of big offers, but certainly if he checks out at 6'6", 235 and can run like he looks like he can on film, competition again, I think that could be a guy to watch. He's visiting this weekend along with some other guys Hale told you about during the morning show. Mm-hmm. So there's that, and we'll see how things develop there. These juniors are going to start rolling in through the campus here for the rest of this month, and they'll start it back up again during spring. So we'll see how that goes. Yeah, Diego Pavia, 5'9" 7/8", 198 pounds. And Matt makes a good point. He's like, didn't everyone already know Pavia was short? Yeah. They're getting him on is Vandy listed him at 6 feet. Like if you're 5'10 and a half in cleats give you about an inch and a half. Okay. So you can be listed at 6 feet. But if you're 5'9" 7/8", you're not 6 foot with cleats. So
no.
And you know, after you show your butt, your bahunkus, everybody's gonna call you on it.
Right. Everybody, I mean, you know. Only like stands Jeremy. For reason that they're gonna assail you from any possible, you know, vulnerability you have when you go around talking that much crap.
Yes. Yes. He's like Jeremy Renner's character in The Town. Little man syndrome. Little man. I love that movie, The Town, by the way. That's a good movie. Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. Jamie told me to watch The Rip.
Mm.
You know, that movie, it has kind of a surprise twist to it. But it was just good to see those two on camera together again. You know, from back in the day, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. It's a good movie. I enjoyed it. It's one of the first movies I've watched in a while where I've been like movies, not TV shows. But anyway, it's The Town was one
twist
of
twist is getting overused. I'm getting a little tired of it.
Oh.
Yeah.
They need to make more movies like go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, even when you don't really see it coming, it just seems now trite to have a surprise twist at the end of a limited series or a movie. It's like, oh, well, yeah, look at that. What do you know? Well, that's interesting. Yeah, you're right. Nobody saw that coming.
Good job, M. Night Shyamalan.
Wow, that's right. Yeah, man. Woo! You really stretched your creative.
I stopped watching M. Night Shyamalan's movies because I was like, I'm wasting my time sitting through the first hour and 55 minutes because the entire story is going to unfold in the last 4 minutes. The Sixth Sense was fine. Minutes
of exposition, and then you get a
like twist in that what was it, The Village or whatever, where they were like,
oh God,
it was like, and then oh, that's a shocker. There's a modern car that oh, I didn't see that one coming. No. So anyway, Jimmy says to watch Landman. I'm already way in front of you on that, brother.
Yeah,
I'm just sad that another season's over. I love that.
I'm still in season one. I can't get through season one.
There are good shows that I've started watching, and they're good, and I'm into them, and I just lose track.
Yeah, it's like my favorites.
It's weird.
And then there's the bandwidth part, right? It's like, oh crap, you know, oh, there's a basketball game on tonight. I need to watch that. Oh, wait, hold on. Now we, oh, wait, oh, now I've got to take my kid to basketball practice. Okay, let's do that.
Yeah, TD Null, that's fake news that Billy Bob's going to be out of Landman.
Yeah.
There's a lot more storylines that are now going to be written based on a plot twist at the end of that season.
Imagine that.
So I'm not going to spoil it for Philip there. But yeah, it's the M. Night Shyamalan movies is kind of crazy. But the Town was really good. But that's who Diego Pavi reminds me of, Jeremy Renner's character in The Town.
Yeah.
A little angry guy. Good at what he does, but kind of angry. You know, so I don't know. But yeah, the surprise endings and stuff, that we need more movies like There Will Be Blood. I was trying to explain. My wife, she doesn't have a short attention span, but she ain't going to sit there and sit through a movie like There Will Be Blood. Because her philosophy on movies is, I don't want to have to think. I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't really blame you. That's why I don't like Shakespeare.
Right.
I mean, the extent of my, if you speak my language in a manner which I can understand, I will think about the story you are trying to tell. That you tell it to me in iambic pentameter, I don't give a flip about any of it. I was in two Shakespeare plays in college. I was in Much Ado About Nothing and Midsummer Night's Dream. Two comedies. Should be easy, right? I hated every minute of it. I hated saying it. I hate reading it. The stories are decent, I guess. I understand why he's important, but I hate it. So anyway, my wife's not going to sit through There Will Be Blood. So I was trying to explain it to her the other day. I was like, all right, so every character in the movie is a bad person.
It's everybody's a bad person.
The only two characters that have any redeeming value at all, one of them lost their hearing as a child, and they hang out with all these people. Right. He's right. A good person. And the other one is the simple-minded father that gets taken for everything he's ever worked for in his life. And that wasn't much. Whose son beats him up? The whole rest of the movie is about a conflict between a bad, evil, demented person that doesn't believe in God against a bad, evil, demented person that pretends to believe in God. And one of them murders the other, and the movie just ends. And it won an Oscar. And I love the movie. I thought it was great. I don't like plot twist.
It doesn't need to, you know, surprise ending.
Wes Anderson movies, but Paul Thomas Anderson movies, every one of them, from Magnolia to Boogie Nights, all of those. He's a really talented movie maker. And Daniel Day-Lewis with Daniel playing, I mean, that was an unbelievable acting job. But I was trying to explain it here. And so there's no surprise ending in There Will Be Blood. Oh, yeah. I knew eventually one of them was going to kill the other one. And the movie just ends.
That's right. I don't mind.
After he's alienated. Like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, you don't realism.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, look, you don't have to try so hard. You know, why are you coming on so heavy?
It's brutal realism. You know, and you could kind of compare it to Carolina football a bit. There's not bad people and evil people associated with Carolina football, obviously.
A little different.
But you can kind of compare like the feel of the story. Like, it's just rugged realism. That's what Carolina football fans face. You know, well, guess what? We may have struck oil here, like all these five stars, right? But some bad stuff's going to happen.
Inevitably.
And it's probably not going to end well. It's probably not going to end well.
Somebody's going to probably die.
TD asked if we've seen the new Avatar movie.
I haven't. I have not seen one. Have you seen the third Avatar? And my wife's like, there's three Avatars? And I said, third Avatar. I watched the first one. I did not see the second or third.
Yeah. So there's a third. I mean, that's the name of today's show.
Yeah.
A third Avatar.
That's a third Avatar.
I'm always looking for those.
Has Jimmy James Cameron done anything BYU would since be these Avatar? I'm sorry, you're going on. Yeah, we got
to show. James Cameron? James
Cameron? Is
he's doing going to the now? Bottom of the... Well, he's going to the bottom of the ocean the right way.
Well, that's true.
Unlike the Ocean Gate sub people.
Listen, if
he called them out.
If you're going to the bottom of the ocean and Bob Ballard is not on the boat, you need to get off the sub.
Like everybody's like the sensation online now is that penguin that Werner Herzog, you know, that the penguin.
Yeah,
right. Leaves his doesn't go to the feeding area or back to the pack. He takes off straight to the mountain, 70 kilometers. Scientists say he's headed for certain death. Yet if they turned him around, he would immediately go back toward the mountains. But why? So this was a thing about 15 years ago and it's come back. Everybody's embracing the penguin now.
Yeah.
So that's one of those interesting things, but it's something else. Carolina, Jimmy says, I was hoping BYU beat Arizona last night. Mike Morgan was on that call. BYU made a comeback, just ran out of time. Mike with the Elite Media Network, they're broadcasting national basketball games now. I hope Mike, I don't know, I haven't talked to him about this. I hope they do some NCAA tournament games. One of the best times I ever had, Phil. I was driving from Athens to Baton Rouge in March, from Nike camp to Nike camp. Got caught up in a heck of a mess of a rainstorm. And, but I think North Carolina was playing Alabama, and I listened to the Westwood One broadcast from the NCAA tournament. That was awesome. Nice. Westwood One broadcaster, cool. I listened to Mike call some football games this past year, too. It was like I sat on my porch and listened to Texas, Oklahoma. With him calling it. Those neutral radio broadcasts are pretty good. I don't like it when they have the ESPN TV people doing them, except the one when I think it was Sean McDonough and Dick Vitale called the Gamecock Final Four game on radio. And somebody synced that up to the run, the comeback, which is another thing that ended kind of like there will be blood. That sucked. The reason that sucked so bad was not because Carolina lost necessarily. It was because we booked a travel package and we had to stay the next 2 days.
Oh, right, right.
Mm-hmm. To Monday. We couldn't go back till Tuesday. I'm like, I don't want to go watch North Carolina play Oregon. And you couldn't buy beer in the arena.
Oh, yeah, it was.
At that point in time.
Right.
That was awful.
No.
So anyway, but yeah, BYU in Arizona. Ben says he's excited for Michigan, Nebraska. A lot of top college basketball matchups this week. I think Nebraska gets humbled. Great record against a weak schedule so far. What world are we living in? So the other day, Nebraska beat Indiana in basketball and scored 83 points. Years ago, if you just said, hey, there's going to be one year where Nebraska is going to score 83 points in a sport against Indiana. And one of those teams is going to win the football national championship. I'd have said, well, Nebraska probably scored 83 points against Indiana in football and won the football national championship.
Right. Sounds like Nebraska ran all over Indiana that Saturday.
No. Nebraska scored. They put up, put a bunch of points that beat the Hoosiers in basketball. And yeah, so we're in a world where Nebraska basketball. They got a good coach. Fred, the mayor Hoiberg, is a really good coach. They're rolling right now. And Indiana football won a national championship. And Nebraska football was happy to get from 6-6 to 7-5. What a wonderful world. That's crazy. TD Null says if Thornwell didn't have the flu, they beat Gonzaga. Yeah, he was just a little off. He still played really well. But, man, the whole team wasn't feeling great. And to have it in them, when they got down 14, I was like, it's just in their day.
Yeah.
I was already preparing myself. Then they went on that run, and I was like,
climb back in it. Yeah.
So Ben says, I think Dusty may have Mike Boynton, Michigan may have the best team in America this year. Happy to see Mike back to having success. Yeah. He's a good game cop. Mike Boykin was a rare basketball player that Fogler signed him, wasn't really well known out of Brooklyn, New York. And then by the time he was a senior, as he off, he's got better and better, and played for Dave Odom at the end. He had a 30 point his senior year. He was really, really good. So Russell says they were controlling that sub with an Xbox controller. Yeah. I think about, now that I'm thinking about this penguin that ran away, I'm also, before that, was thinking about the Ocean Gate sub people. My theory is arrogance and ignorance can be a deadly combination, just in terms of safety. So I don't know. I was too angry today, Phil. That's why we're playing the song.
Sabai,
just to let it go. Just chill, man.
Yeah.
Sabai. Dun, 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 dun. I don't know what they're saying.
I don't either.
I know what I'm saying. Terrible Tuesday is over.
Bad Bunny.
And I kind of enjoyed Terrible Tuesday today.
It's been a good Terrible Tuesday. We turned it around.
Kind of quick. TD said, great show, fellas. See y'all tomorrow, God willing. Yes, tomorrow's Wide Open Wednesday. So
We'll
get Roger in here now that Aiden Gibson set his official visit to get his scouting report on that. Get an update on high school sports in the upstate. Hopefully Roger's in. And all of our other people we only see on Wednesdays. And we love you just as much as the Club Chief members. But remember, you can always join Club Chief at the low price of $4.99 a month and interact with us every single day. Tailgate Talks is tomorrow. That's a podcast version on the Chief Sports app and also up on their YouTube channel. Please like it, youtube.com/@tailgatetalks547. And we're going to be out. Probably more recruiting stuff to talk about tomorrow.
Yeah.
There'll be some topic on coffee. I haven't decided quite yet. Oh, by the way. Oh, no, I'll save that. That may be what I talk about tomorrow. Okay. I did a lot of research during my free time today. For the Mad Dog, this is JC. We're out. Y'all have a great day. This has been the show. Thanks for listening.